I'm going to ask you to turn to Proverbs chapter number 3 to start with tonight. Proverbs chapter number 3. I'm going to share something with you tonight that I've been studying and dealing with for the last several months, and it's been very convicting to me, and I just want to share that with you. And as the pastor says many times, and very true, we're all made out of the same stuff. And we all have different issues and different things that we struggle with. But in Proverbs chapter number 3, we'll start here. But I kind of want to lay the groundwork on this. And verse number 5, now this might be kind of repetitive to those in my Sunday school class, but I'm going to try to mix it up a little bit here and just give you tonight what's on my heart. The Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. How many of you, when you think of a path, what do you think of? I think of walking. You know, if you go down a path, you're walking. Each one of us today took a different path with some things. I was talking to Brother Tim, and he was telling me about different places he was at today, and every one of us in here was on a different path. We were walking in a different path. We were going in a different path. And I looked a few minutes ago, and I did over 8,000 steps today. That's equivalent to 3.3 miles. I walked a lot of paths today. But we all have a path. Every one of us in here has a path. And so with that thought in mind, and don't forget this either. You can go back, but verse number 5 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Doesn't say partial, part, a third, or half, or whatever. It says with all thine heart. And then it says, and lean not unto thine own understanding. To be very honest with you, I'm leaning a little bit on this podium tonight. What is the podium doing? It's holding me up. I have faith and trust in it that it'll do that. But so many times we get into trouble when we start leaning on our own understanding and what we think and what we have perception of the way things should be. But with that thought in mind, I'm going to ask you to turn over to Psalm 2. Psalm 2, and I'm going to kind of go backward here a little bit. Psalm 2. As we read this portion of Scripture, I think every one of us could agree with, we're living in a time that's very uncertain. We're living in a time when people are perplexed about things. I hear every day in our business, I'm either getting emails or I'm hearing, and we're concerned about the tariffs. People are so concerned about the tariffs that are being added. What's that going to do to the pricing of copper? And what's it going to do to the pricing of this and the pricing of that? People are just really concerned about our state and what's going on in our country. But ladies and gentlemen, it's not the tariffs that's to be of concern to us. The Bible says here in verse 1 of Psalm 2, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? If you think about rage, what do you think of? Well, you think of people with a violent temper. You think of people that's having an anger tantrum, uncontrollable anger. Would you agree with me that that's going on today in our country and surrounding areas? Not only in Washington, but it's here also locally. I don't want to get on a sore subject here, but I hear a lot about different things that's going on in the county and different things and, you know, the... Now I'll get uncontrollable anger here. No, that jet. You know, the Expo Center seems to be a topic of discussion. In my business, people coming in and talking about it, and people are for it and those against it and all of this and the money. But you know what? I saw here a few weeks ago, I saw some people get, I mean, they just got contentious over that. And they were standing there arguing over that. And you could tell that their temper and their, and it was just like their whole facial expression changed, and they were so mad about it. Politicians in Washington, D.C., it seems like every time you listen to the news, or you hear the news, or you look at the news, and this one's mad at this one, and then you have this uncontrollable temper and all of these things going on, and it's raging, and it's not getting any better. And may I tell you tonight, it's not going to get any better. And the people imagine a vain thing. The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. But notice what the next verse says. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. There is a lot of strife today. There is a lot of things going on. There is a lot of things that affect us as God's children. If you listen to this and you hear it, and it's a repetitive thing over and over and over again, if we're not careful and you go back, and I want you to think now what I've mentioned first, this path that we're on and the path that the Lord has given each one of us. We will be held accountable for what we do on these paths. Now, we would all agree, and we're seeing that here. Now, this is not just here recorded in the Bible. This is ongoing today. And may I tell you also, before the Lord comes back, it will get worse. We will be a minority, and we already are a minority. If you're a child of God and you claim Christ, you are a minority. You're a fanatic. But here in this portion of Scripture, it's recorded the heathen rage, and we're seeing that today. But Psalm 1, you say, well, you're kind of going backwards here. Yes, I am. So how do we, as God's people, as His children, how do we cope with our everyday path and these things that we hear on a consistent time, every time, all the time? How do we deal with this? What do we do? The Bible says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Do you want to be blessed tonight? I do. I really do. And so many times we think, well, if a person's blessed, they're blessed monetarily. No, that's not necessarily so. God does bless monetarily, and He supplies our needs. But the Bible says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. As we walk every day in our life, some of us hear this more than others. I hear people. I listen to people. I hear things that I wish I didn't hear. I hear language that I wish I didn't hear, but I hear it. And then we turn on the TV or we listen to the radio and we hear all these things that's going on. And in our mind, we're thinking, what in the world is going to happen next? How's this going to affect me? How's this going to affect me in my life, in my future? I'm looking at maybe just in a few years of being able to retire. I hope. And then sometimes I hear this, you know, well, the stock market dropped today and it lost so many points. All these things, ladies and gentlemen, can have an effect on us in our path and our walk. If we listen to it and we let it affect us, it can have a grave change in our life. And before long, the Bible says, blessed is the man that walketh not in that counsel. That there's a walking process. Then there's a standing process. And then there's a sitting process. This is not a progression, it's a regression. As we're walking and we're listening to all these things that's going on around us, and we hear them, and before long, as we're walking, all these things, if we're not careful, begin to have an effect on us. And then the next thing you know, we're standing. We're walking and listening, but then the next thing, we're standing and we're listening. And we're standing with these people and these things are affecting us. And then the last part of the regression is we're sitting with them. Now, I'm going to tell you something tonight. This is one of the things that the Lord's been working on me about. If we want to be a blessed people, if we want God's blessing on us, individually, corporately as a church, we had better be careful of what we're listening to and how it's affecting us. Because if Satan can get us to stop, we're walking and we're trying to walk in the Lord's will and we're trying to walk with the Lord and we're trying our best to let Him lead us and guide us and direct us on our path. But if we're not careful, Satan is very subtle and he knows what to say sometimes and how to use people to say it. I know none of us have ever been we've never been guilty of that, have we? Well, did you hear what so-and-so said? Be careful what we say. Be careful what we do. Be careful how... The Lord wants to take us in that path that He has for us. And He wants to bless us. He wants us to be a blessed people. But if we're off the path, if we're stopped, if we're standing and then we're sitting, we're of no earthly good for anything. And the Lord can't do with us what He pleases and chooses to do with us. Verse number 3, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season, and his leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. That's the evidence of a blessed person. Like a tree planted by the water. You know, trees don't do so good without water, do they? We don't do so well without the Lord. We may think we are. We may have this in our mindset that, oh, I'm doing pretty good. I'm doing okay. But it's not the path. It's not the way the Lord wants us to go in that path. And He wants to bless us. And He wants to take care of us. And He wants to do things for us. And He wants to lead us and guide us. We expect our children to obey. We expect them to do what we tell them to do. We expect the young people, the teenagers, we expect them to obey. We expect them to do what we tell them to do or what they're told to do. But where in the world do we get to the point so many times in our adult life that we reach a certain age that we don't want anybody telling us what to do? And especially, we've got this figured out, Lord. May I tell you tonight, we don't have it figured out. We do not have it figured out. Only the Lord knows what lies ahead in that path. Only the Lord knows which way He wants to take us and how He wants us. And, you know, the Bible says, He leadeth me in the path of righteousness. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the only path He can go down. So if He's going to lead us and we're going to allow Him to lead us, it'll be the right path and it'll be a path of righteousness. We're to live holy lives, by the way. I had a dear brother here a few weeks ago mention that. living a holy life. Be ye holy as I am holy. I didn't say that. God said that. How do we do that? By being what God wants us to be. By being able, by Him being able. The pastor preached this past week about the potter. One of my most favorite portions of Scripture about the potter. And he brought it so well of how so many times, you know, we get off the path or we stop or we're over here and the Lord wants us here or we're over here and He wants us over here. The thing about it is we get marred in that place. Sometimes sin takes a toll on us. But aren't you glad that the potter doesn't throw the clay away? He takes it and remolds it and makes it. I'm a very good evidence of that tonight. Of the Lord's goodness and kindness and molding me and making me. I haven't arrived yet, but neither have you. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. You know what that word scornful means? Have you ever met somebody, have you ever met someone that you could tell they didn't like something by the way their facial expression was? That's what that portion of Scripture means. Dearly beloved, we're all God. If you're saved tonight, if you're on your way to heaven, you've been bought by the precious blood of the Lamb. And this is what the Lord's been working on me about. My facial expressions sometimes are not the best in the world. I don't have a perpetual smile on my face. And I've had people say, "What are you mad about?" And it really used to strike a chord with me. I mean, it was like somebody, "What do you mean asking me that question?" But you know what? We'd be well to take sometimes constructive criticism. We're the only book that some people see. We're the only Christ that some people see. Well, I want to give my opinion on this. Everybody has an opinion, don't they? But is it the opinion that the Lord wants us to give? I guess what I'm trying to say tonight is we can be affected by so many things in our Christian life. And it can take us from being what God wants to do with us and blessing us and all the things in our life. You say, "Well, how come I have these health issues and how come I have these money problems?" That's not what the Bible's speaking about. The Bible's speaking about a blessed person that's totally and committed to whatever God has in their life and being happy about it. See, are you happy about your surgery? I haven't reached that point yet. But I know when time comes that God's grace will be sufficient. It always has been and always will be. It's amazing to me, Brother John Burcham used to tell me, Brother Junior used to tell me, "Randall, God will give you grace for that particular time. You won't need yesterday's grace or tomorrow's grace. It's grace for this time right now." I lost my dad in May of 1996 and my brother in December of 1996. I had to walk back through that church aisle right there and take my mother over into the office and tell her that her firstborn was gone. God give grace. But the path that we're on, the path that we need to really focus on is not being so overwhelmed and manipulated by what's going on around us and all of the bad news that we hear and all of those other things. And it can affect us and it can get us where we don't need to be. And it can get us off the path that we need to be on, that God has for us and wants to bless us with. And if we get off that path, it's a dangerous thing because the Bible speaks about walking, standing, and then sitting. How many of you, I have in my Christian life, watched somebody that got gloriously saved by the good grace of God, and then the next thing you know, where are they at? I can tell you what happened. And this can happen to us also. I don't care how many years you've been saved, how many years you've been walking with God, it can happen. I've seen it happen. And it can happen in my life and it can happen in your life if we're not careful and we let these things get us away from where God wants us to be. I want to be blessed, don't you? I want God's blessing on my life, on my family. I want Him to lead me and guide me and direct me, but there are those times. Lord, do You really, really, really want me to do that? And we start questioning. I never did like my children questioning me. Sit down. Why? Why? Do you like to be questioned? Sometimes we get questioned and we don't like it. It just really, really rubs us the wrong way. Why do we question God? He sure knows a whole lot more than we do. He knows the end results, does He not? Let me read this portion of Scripture to you. In Psalm 15. Lord, who shall abide in Thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in Thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. He that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor. Well, if we're not affected, you say, well, I'm not being affected by any of this stuff that's going on around me in the news and the politics and all of this. I'm not being affected by that. Well, do you think that Satan gives up there? Do you think that you reach a point in time where you say, I'm going to trust the Lord for all of this, but do you think that He doesn't know another way, another angle to come at us? Let me say this too. If He can get us divided, if He can cause contention and strife in His place, in the church, in God's house, he that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart, he that backbiteth not with his tongue. That's convicting. If I'm going to backbite Brother Davies here, most of the time I'm not going to say it to his face. I'm going to go behind him. That's the reason it's called backbiting, you know? So what's the purpose of all this? The purpose is that we better be careful. If we claim to be God's children, if we're saved by the good grace of God, and we are, then we need to be careful in the path that we're walking and what we're doing while we're walking that path. Because one day we will stand and give an account to God for what we've done on the path that He has given us. He that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor. In whose eyes a vile person is contemned, but he honoreth him that feareth the Lord. He that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not. He that putteth not his money to usury, nor taketh reward against the innocent. He that doeth these things, what does it say? Shall never be moved. May the Lord help us as we walk these paths. I was at the bank the other day, and I always hope that Sandra will be able to wait on me, but sometimes that doesn't work out. And some of the just in standing in line there at the bank, it's amazing what you can hear. It's amazing what you hear on your job. It's amazing what you hear out in public. But when I tell you something, ladies and gentlemen, those things should not be in the house of God. Have I been guilty of that? Yes, I have. To my shame, I have. When I first started studying this a few months ago, I had no idea where it was going to take. Isn't it amazing if you really, really get in earnest and start wanting the Lord to work in your life and to help you with issues and help you with flaws that you have? Isn't it amazing what He'll do? And He started dealing with me about some things. Cantankerous attitude. Well, I'm not sure that I like that. You know what? And I'm speaking about myself tonight. Some of that stuff just don't matter. It just don't matter. I want to be a blessed man. Do you want to be a blessed person? Do you want God's blessing on your life? When your time comes or our time comes to leave this earth, either by way of rapture, and I hope that's the way I go, but if the Lord were to call me home tonight, have I done everything that I possibly could to walk that path to please Him? No, I haven't. But I can't do anything about yesterday. I can only do something about now and from this time forward. And so can you. Let us not get so wrapped up in all the things that's going on around us, listening to the news and listening to this and listening to that. The Lord's got all that under control. It's not any of this taking Him by surprise. And we know that it'll get worse before the Lord Jesus comes back. But as we walk this path, and we desire to be blessed, think about how much better it could be if we totally and completely surrender to the Lord. Heaven's going to be a blissful place, would you agree? Can't imagine what heaven's going to be like. No more sickness, no more dying, no more pain. Joy, joy unspeakable. Being able to thank the one who died for us. That'll be a wonderful time, won't it? But think of how much more, till we get there, it could be so much more enjoyable and we'd have joy in our hearts and all of these things in our life and be a blessed person that God wants us to be. And He wants to bless us and He wants to take us and direct us. Think about that. In Acts chapter 4, what's it going to take for us to get to that place when we feel threatened, when we feel all of these things going on around us? What's it going to take for us to get to the place that we need to be? Acts chapter 4, verse number 23. The disciples were feeling threatened here. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God. And with one accord and said, Lord, Thou art God, which hath made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is. Who by the mouth of Thy servant David has said, Why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against His Christ. For of a truth against Thy holy child Jesus, whom Thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together, for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. Verse number 31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. So what does it take? What does it take for us to be and to get where we need to be? And then when these things come along in our life, when these outside things start manipulating us and they start taking our focus off of what we're, where we need to be, what should we do? What did the disciples do? They felt threatened, and they were threatened. Well, what did they do? They got together and they prayed. And what did God do? He answered their prayers. The place was shaken where they were assembled together. What if the Lord were to shake this place? What if the Lord were to shake this place and do something here? Do you think that He can still do that? I absolutely do. I believe that. But what's it going to take for us? Don't get it. Let us not get off the path. Let us stay on the path, and let us not be affected by all those things that's going on. Let us not be guilty of listening to all the outside things that's going on. But brothers and sisters, let us not be the ones on the inside that start some of the things that we know that we shouldn't be starting. If we'll do that, and we'll pray, and we'll seek God's face, I honestly believe that God can do great things and send a great revival. Do you believe that? I do. I'll close with this. I don't know if this made any sense to you, but it sure has. And sometimes I have a hard time conveying what's on my heart and what the Lord's doing in my life and how He's helping me. But I hope you can take something from this. I pray that the Lord will take it and help us as we understand the everyday path that we're on if we want to be blessed. I have a pear tree in my backyard. That pear tree is full this year. It is loaded. I mean, if it continues and all of those pears grow to the size that I hope they do, it'll probably break some of the tree limbs out of the tree, but it's loaded. Last year, there was not one pear on that tree. I thought about that the other day, and the Lord just gave me a thought about that. Do you know what happened to that pear tree last year? Frost killed it. Do you know what frost does? You know where frost comes from? That's when there's dew or moisture in the air and it gets below freezing and it freezes on my pear tree and it killed the pears. This year it's full of pears because there was no frost. Didn't kill it. Do you know what will kill a Christian? Do you know what will kill our fruitfulness? Frost, ice, when we get cold. It'll kill us. It'll kill us spiritually. Did you notice the first song that we sang tonight? Springs of Living Water. I noticed in this second verse that we were singing, now glory, grace, and blessing mark the path I've trod. We can get cold and we can lose and won't be that fruit-bearing Christian that God desires for us to be. But if we're walking with Him, letting Him lead us and guide us and direct us, and we're looking to Him, and we won't get involved in some of these other things, and we won't say things that we shouldn't say, and we won't be doing this or doing that that we shouldn't be doing, and we're looking to Him and asking Him to lead and guide us and direct us, then we'll be the proper fruit-bearing Christians that we should be.